Our lesson this morning is really around answering a question, and that is God concerned about how we dressed? Are we really just making a big deal about something that God really doesn't care much about? I think that question has to be answered. Is this really something on God's radar? Or is this somebody's personal opinion? I think that's a fair question to ask. God concerns himself certainly with the universe, with the fighting evil, with saving mankind. Is he really going to take time and worry about my clothing? I think that's a question we need to try to answer this morning. In order to answer that question, I want to suggest to you that we have to answer a handful of other questions, and I think they may be helpful to us. Now, the first thing I would say is that since clothes are for the body, at least that's the intended purpose, right? When we go to buy clothes, the intent is to put it on the body. Since clothes is for the body, then the first question I would try to answer is God really concerned about our bodies physically? And we say things like God is really focused on the inner man, and I believe that completely. Does that also mean now that he's really not focused on the outward portion of man, the body of man? And 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul's addressing the subject of sexual immorality. The Holy Spirit here gives insight to how God views our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, and I'll just kind of skip verses throughout this course of the text just to try to understand whether or not God is concerned about our physical body. Verse 13 says, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality. This is the first glimpse that lets us know that he's really talking about the physical body. And we know what sexual immorality is, the premarital sex or things like that, adultery. Sexual immorality is a broad word. And he says that the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So here he says that the body, yes, even the physical body, is for the Lord. It's not for sexual sins. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And again, I think he's talking about our physical body in this text. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? And again, I don't take what belongs to Christ or as a member of Christ and then engage in some type of unlawful sexual activity. Right? I cannot do that. Verses 19 and 20 now. He says, so do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I still think he's talking about the physical body. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Now, I think that's the most interesting statement. That if in this text he's really talking about the physical body, then he says, and you are not your own, then that might suggest that I don't even possess my body, that I'm not the authority of my own body. He said, well, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in this last verse, what we see with clarity, that in fact, he really was talking about the body. Because he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So there are times, absolutely, where the Bible talks about the spirit, the spiritual side of man, and that's what God is interested in, absolutely. In this text, though, it lets us know that he's absolutely interested in the body. And in fact, that my behavior, my conduct should be as such, that I glorify God, it says in this text, in the body. I think that's most interesting, especially as we think about the subject that we're considering. There's certainly activities that a person might engage in that would be sinful in nature, that they would do with this body, and it would not glorify God. I would suggest to you that there is clothing that a person may wear, and the way they might wear it could be sinful and not glorify God in their body. Let's consider for a moment this idea that the body is his. Verse 19, the Bible says, you are not your own. Verse 20, you were bought with a price. Your body and your spirit belongs to God, which is his, the Bible says in that text. Full ownership of your body is his. I got to thinking about that. Do I, on a daily basis, do I think of my body being God's possession? And I started going back to my mind. At what point in my life was my body ever actually mine? As far as my authority to do with as I please. You know, when little kids are babies, their body is really not their own. And then they get to the age of these young ladies here, right? And they have some, maybe a little more say. They go into their drawer, they get their clothes out that mom and dad picked out for them. Someone bought it. Someone picked it out. And if they put it on and it's not right, you know what mom and dad says? Yeah, take that thing off. Right? Because you really don't have much control. You think you have some control. You have a little bit of control, but not much. You get to the teenage years. You go to school. A lot of schools have dress codes. They'll send you home if you wear the wrong thing. You know, you become an adult. And the reality is, in many cases, you still have limited control. If I wear the wrong thing, my wife will let me know. and my children will even frown up sometimes. What you thinking about? Even as an adult sometimes, you know, my job will only let me wear certain attire. If you are a police officer, they have a certain dress code. And they are dictating. They are giving instructions. They are telling you what to do with your body. Specifically, how to put on apparel and how you ought to wear it. And even within the marriage relationship, the Bible goes so far as to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, it talks about sort of this due right to intimacy that the spouse have towards the other. But in saying that, it says that the husband's body is not his own, it's the wife. And the wife's body is not her own, but it's the husband. And if you're reading from a newer translation, it says the authority of your body is given to the other spouse. That's the idea there, specifically concerning the right to intimacy. What it's saying, that in a general sense, that even in that segment of your body, you have some limitation on your control. My only point is that sometimes when people think about putting on clothing, they don't want anyone to tell them about how they're going to wear, what they're going to wear, or what they're going to wear. You can't tell me what to put on. You can't tell me how to put it on, because this is my body. And this text says, and no, it's not. It is not your body. This text in 1 Corinthians says that it's God's body. That's what it says. And so if it belongs to God, the reality is I don't get to do what I want to do. And my motivation cannot be based upon just because it feels good to me or I like my clothes to fit me a certain way. I used to hear people say that all the time. I just like my clothes to fit me a certain way. Well, if you don't like it the way God likes it, then you're liking it the wrong way, right? Because it's not your body, it's God. It belongs to God. And in our text here, again, verse 20, says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I think that's a powerful text as we try to answer the question, is God really concerned? Is he really concerned with how I dress? Now, what I did with that text in 1 Corinthians is I applied principle, right? And sometimes in applying principles of scripture, someone says, well, you apply it your way, and then I'll apply it my way. And I think this is a good point to sort of make this observation. Now, someone may come up to you and ask the question, because someone asked me this question. Does the Bible tell me my pants are too tight? Right, so can I go in the scriptures and tell you that here's a passage that says your pants is too tight? As a matter of fact, I cannot. All right. Now, perhaps another question, as I was thinking about it, is does the Bible tell me I can't show the upper portion of my body? That was the cleanest way I could say that. But you've seen the construction workers or maybe the plumber, and he bends down, his pants slides down a little bit, and you see what I'm going to refer to for our study, the upper portion of his body. Right? But we all know what I'm talking about, right? Is there a passage of scripture that says that you cannot do that? No, there's no passage of scripture that says that. Well, another question. Does the Bible tell me I can't show the upper portion of my breasts, ladies? Now, that's me trying to be clean, what some call the cleavage area. Is there a passage of scripture that says I can't show that? Or shouldn't show that? Is there a passage that says that? No, doesn't say that at all. My response when I was asked a question similar to that was, is there a passage of scripture in the Bible that says I cannot go and shoot my neighbor in the thigh? No, that's not in the Bible either. Ergo, I can go shoot my neighbor in the thigh. Or I might have to make an appeal to principle of scripture. And the principle of scripture that we might think about is something that says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And that shooting your neighbor in the thigh probably isn't a demonstration of that, right? And so we understand that. And we can apply that principle in those situations. We need to be able to apply principle of scriptures in every situation. There's principle of scriptures that tells us I should not show the upper portion of my bottom, the upper portion of my chest. I shouldn't be showing that. There are principle of scriptures that will let us know that we shouldn't do that. And so my applying this principle about the body belonging to God is absolutely fitting. And one cannot deny it. You can't deny that what belongs to God belongs to God. You can't deny that. You can't deny that what God wants for what's his, it should not even get close to looking like sin. You can't deny that. You cannot. You can't fight against that. It's like a wall. It's too high to get over. It's too low to get under. You can't go around it neither. We understand that what belongs to God belongs to God. And you can't get around this idea that says, for we are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That in my dress, in my attire, I need to be asking myself, does it glorify? Lord, the word glorify means give honor. To give praise. Does it glorify God in this body? And I think that's a real important principle to digest. But now, let's continue. Is God really concerned about how we dress? I have more. There's more. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go ahead and turn. But the scripture in talking about needs that we have, would seemingly, in most cases, seem to boil it down to two core things. One being food, the other being clothing. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content or satisfied." So if I have food, I'm satisfied, but it also says if I have clothing, I should be satisfied. Well, why is that? Look at the book of James. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 now. James 2, verses 14 through 16. Here, the context is around faith without works or faith with works. And here he's giving an illustration to show you that if faith doesn't have work, it just fails, right? It's no good. But in making that illustration, he tells us something about the thing that's needed for the body. He says in James chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" What value is there? Now, in this text, notice that he talks about a person who is destitute. And this person is naked. Here's a person who's naked. Well, a person who's naked, what does he need? He needs clothing, isn't it? And a person who is destitute of daily food, what does he need? He needs something to eat. And your answer, your response to him, be warm, the idea be clothed, be warm, and be filled. But you don't give him what's needed for the body. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Then in this text, it tells us that what's needed for the body is food and clothing. Food and clothing, that's what's needed for the body. Will God not give us the things that's needed? Does God focus on providing for us? Has he committed himself to giving us food and clothing? Because if he's committed himself to giving us clothing, that would suggest to me that he is concerned about how we dress, that he is concerned about covering, that he is concerned about dress, that is something that is on his radar. I mean, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in addressing the worries of his disciples, telling them not to worry or to be anxious, he tells them not to be anxious about two things, really, in this text. And believe it, the two things were food and clothing. In verse 25 of Matthew 6, it says, "Therefore I would tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on," talking about clothing. "Is life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Verse 28 now. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass in the field, or the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Is God concerned about how we dress? I think he's certainly concerned about clothes. I think he is, because he said he is. And more importantly in this text is his willingness to bind himself to be the provider of such for you. So who provides clothes for his body? He has bound himself to being the provider of clothes for his body, which we think, of course, is ours. But it's really not ours, it's his. Is he concerned about it? I think the text says clearly that he is. You may remember when we got started last week, we talked about Adam and Eve. And we saw how that at the end of chapter 2, both the male and the female, they were naked, and the Bible says they were not ashamed. And then we realized by looking at chapter 3, somewhere around verse 7, that the reason why they were not ashamed was because after eating the fruit, their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. Before they didn't know they were naked, once they knew they were naked, then the Bible says in that text, they sewed some loincloths. They tried to cover themselves. They hid themselves when they heard God walking in the garden. Now, after they had made their effort to clothe themselves, now that God had pronounced some punishment upon them for what they had done, we see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin to clothe them. He made them garments, the Bible says, of skin. Let me take that to mean animal skin. But he made them some garments to clothe them. Is God really concerned about how we dress? Is God really concerned about clothes? I think the answer is an emphatic yes. And we see much more throughout the course of the Bible. A few passages that you might want to jot down. If you want to turn to it, you can. Deuteronomy chapter 22. In the Old Testament, we see this concern that God has about clothes, about garments, going so far as to give law on it. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Was God concerned about it? Certainly in the law of Moses, he was absolutely concerned about it. This is not just some idea that popped up in our head. In chapter 22, verses 11 and 12 now. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11 and 12. You shall not wear cloth of wool and linen mixed together. I don't know what the problem with that was, but he says, don't do it. That's good enough for me, right? And that was a part of the old law. So if I was Jew, I would listen to those instructions that God is giving concerning how they dress. You shall make for yourself tassels on the four corners of the garments, which you cover yourself. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 41 also talks about that. But again, the only point I'm trying to make is that at one time, God shows very clearly in the law of Moses, he's concerned about dress. He is concerned about attire. And that's just not a subject that we are pulling out of the air. And if God is concerned about the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be just as concerned about it as well. I think there's certainly enough information here that we've covered this morning that lets us know that God does concern himself with the dress of man, making sure that he is covered and that this is something that God himself takes on, or he took on in the book of Genesis, making sure that man would not have anxiety over whether or not he would have food and clothing. God is saying, I'm binding myself to be the provider. Specifically, he was talking to his apostles. Well, I can say very clearly to God's people, you will have what you need concerning clothing because God has so bound himself to that. God is so concerned that he would give instructions. Instructions we see in the Old Testament, but instructions in the New Testament. We saw 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 that we talked about last week. That's instructions on clothing. We'll see in 1 Peter chapter 3 instructions. That's more instructions on clothing. God is concerned. God is also then concerned with what we do with the body. And I think that's probably the more telling fact. But it's easy to walk away as a Christian and say that God is only concerned about my inner man.
But I think what we saw in 1 Corinthians says that God is also concerned with the outer man. Now, why is that? You may recall some weeks ago, maybe some months ago, I did a lesson talking about inside out. Perhaps he's concerned with it because oftentimes what happens on the inside then manifests itself on the outside. All right, a lot of times what's going on here is what shows up on the outside. Remember what we said, that modesty is not just, you know, dress or how we dress, but it is an attitude. It is the very character of a person and the way they conduct themselves. It shows itself, it manifests itself in how we dress. But it also manifests itself in how we behave. It also manifests itself in how we speak. If we can get this right, it will not only change our appearance, but it may very well change our behavior, change how we talk, change how we walk, change how we live. Because that's really what God is after. He's after a modest life, a modest living for his people. If you walk away with nothing in the last minute, you walk away with this. When I was a young boy, I remember my daddy telling me, he said, "Boy, when you get your house, you can do whatever you want in your house." And then for a while, when I was 16, he let me drive his car. And I used to drive fast. He said, "Hey, don't drive my car like that." He says, "When you get your car, you can drive it any way you like." And I think that concept sort of went with me in life. When I got mine, I could do with what I want. I think the weakness of that is we think that these bodies are ours. Certainly, when you get your own body, you can do with it however you like when you get one. But remember, today, the body that you have is not yours. It is God. It belongs to God, and so we need to treat it in such a way.